Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
God will break you to position you, break you to promote you, and break you to put you in your right place. But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you. He doesn't. When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Ah! Anybody been gracefully broken? Where? Ooh! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, Father, tonight we're broken before you. Thank you for handling us with grace. Your worship right there in this moment.
All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
Come on, sing.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
Ask him, sing.
Set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully
the morning, and welcome to all our listeners out there. You're tuned into Morning Dew, and this is Radio Africana. Welcome again to our session this Sunday morning. I hope you've had a lovely week, and let's just commit our session unto the Lord. Lovely track there, lovely track. Yes, Father, we bless your name. We acknowledge you in all our ways. We acknowledge you. We seek your direction. We seek your wisdom. We seek your counsel. We acknowledge you in our midst today. Thank you for the privilege of this new day. Thank you for the miracle of sleeping and waking. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies and breakthroughs you've given to each and every one of our listeners. We just commit our session today unto you. We ask that your presence and your spirit will be in abundance to guide us, to navigate us, to see us through to bring us into a level of understanding of the scriptures as we glean through them. This we ask of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making this day possible. To you alone be all the glory and all the praise. We ask all of this and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Right. Good morning, lovely people. So we're welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. And we just have a little recap from last week. We were looking at trying to establish some of the foundations that will be required for our walk in authority and power. We've come a long way looking at the covenants, you know, types of covenants, and God's using his covenant as a platform to communicate, you know, through his people. So we'll be looking at some importance of that in course of a few more minutes. But I want to recap why we had to look at the word. Without the Bible said the word was not anything made that was made. So the word is God's change agent. The word is his preferred tool for our growth and our maturity, you know. So of course anything that's going to grow and mature will have to experience and go through a process of change. So the word is God's transforming agent. And we talked about a couple of scriptures, you know, where we talked about the importance of a foundation. Without a solid foundation, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, who we are in Christ Jesus, you know, brings tremendous power to bear in every situation or circumstance. And that's amazing. That's incredible. However, the Bible also says that if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? So there are certain things in terms of processes, principles, protocols that they've not observed or they're violated. Even that, you know, anointing that the righteous man has to bring and to prevail over situations and circumstances, you know, becomes completely disarmed. So we want to establish a firm foundation, all right, knowing that's important, and that that ability of the righteous man to find expression is built on a solid foundation. We looked at Psalms 119 and a couple of verses there, and when we're looking at the fact that the entrance of the word brings light, it brings understanding to the simple. We will need a lot of light, we'll need a lot of illumination, we'll need tons of revelation in understanding what the intent, the original purpose and plan of God is concerning us, our lives, situations and circumstances, if we're going to walk in our authority and power. All right, so the entrance of the word brings light, it brings understanding. So that's why we've gone through those very essential scriptures. Now, it talks about some other benefits. It makes us even wiser than our teachers. I think that's amazing, that there's what you can learn that brings you to a point where you're wiser than your teachers. You know, even talks about you being, you know, more commanding more greater wisdom even than the ancients. That's amazing. But that's possible because your teacher is the Holy Spirit. Right, Jesus, you know, comforted his disciples in saying, I would not leave you comfortless. I will ask the Father to send to you the Comforter, and he will guide you into all truth. And so we see, you know, as demonstrated and documented in the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit did come as appointed, as you know, he had prophesied at the appointed time, and he really made a difference in the ministry of the disciples after Jesus Christ had left. So we do have the same Spirit, and he's there. He was there in the beginning with God during creation. And so when we talk about knowledge, when God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, these are traits of his Spirit as well. So you got the Spirit of God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, dwelling on the inside of you. Remarkable stuff. But do we have to come to an understanding of all that it is that we have in Christ Jesus? We'll be looking at that in a few more minutes. And so we just talked about the benefit of the word and how foundation that is, fundamental that is, as a foundation for building up, for us growing, maturing in who it is we are in Christ Jesus. All right? So we looked at the instrumentality and the agency of the word as God's change agent for growth and maturity. Right. So today we want to try and move on a bit further, and we're looking at some more you know, fundamentals that we need to understand in establishing this foundation. We have a high call. Our call is a high calling. And hitherto in the Bible, there are many places where we're invited. Come, let's reason together. Come, even if your sins are crimson, come, come. They are invited several times to come into the presence of the Lord, to come and tabernacle with him. He says, come up hither. Let me show you great and mighty things that you knew nothing about. Okay, so it's an invitation to ascend to higher dimensions of spirituality, okay, to effectively walk in these realms. All right, we need to be able to cultivate the lifestyle and discipline that is required for us as living souls. Now, the reasons why we're living souls, we're tripartite, we have three compartments. We have a soul, we live in a body, and we have our spirit man. Now, your spirit man at the time of your rebirth is complete, perfect. So let me put it this way. You've got your complete spirit. You've got the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the inside of you. You've got the same potential, okay, ability. And I use the word potential. It's only as you grow in your understanding of what you're potentially capable of doing that you can walk in the authority and power that's delegated to you to give expression in situations, circumstances, and into your world. All right, so that's very important. Your spirit man is not growing in any bigger capacity than it was the first day you had that. What is happening, you are growing in the consciousness of who it is you have, or who it is you are, as a new species in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away, everything has become new. So you've taken on board a new species, you've taken on board new capacities, you've taken on board new abilities, but you're growing in your consciousness of what it is you have on board. All right, so that takes us into a couple of things we need to understand as we go further. Because we're living souls, our hearts in the present state, that is before we came to know Christ, you know, you hear things like the heart of man is desperately wicked. All right, so that heart is not something in that state that the Lord will walk with. It's not the kind of material he uses. So something has to be done with your heart. The Bible says, in that day I will give them a new heart. All right, so you got a new spirit, there's a new heart, and there's a need for you being transformed from that heart of stone to a fleshy heart, to one that's malleable, one that's pliable, one that's teachable. All right, so there's all this transformation we'll be going through, but you need heavy level depths of insight and understanding in the scripture to understand where you're at, what protocol, what process you're going through, and what the destination, your end goal, the outcome looks like. And the Lord will help us as we go through this, in Jesus' name. One of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring things to remembrance. So you don't have to worry about the volume of scriptures or the volume of content or the amount. No. He will bring things to remembrance. And that's just remarkable. But however, I keep saying, there's nothing to bring to remembrance if we've never had a session with them. So it's like you going to, you know, training in a college, university, whatever it is, you've got your modules you have to attend. Now, it's on the strength of you having attended your modules, having gone for the teaching, having gone for the lectures, then we can bring to remembrance, we can recap what was said, what was discussed, what was covered, the content of that session somewhere in the past, in the future. So you need retrievable, what I call retrievable formats, whether that's your memory, how much can your memory, you know, capture and serve you later. All right, you can write it down, that's probably much better. You've got electronic gadgets, so you can record stuff. Even the Bible, for example, has come to us so many generations after because things were documented. All right, so there's a need to document information. There's a need to recall and recap some of this information. And there's a need to be able to get to a level of understanding of this information that we're interacting with, you know. And so the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He brings to remembrance. He guides us into all truth. And these things are so foundational for us to walk in our authority and power. Okay, so concerning our hearts, there's the work he does with us, there's the dealings he takes us through so that we can move from our present state where we know we need the help. Okay, we need to be transformed and we need his enabling grace, and that grace alone is what can provide that change, that shift, that moving on, that growth, that maturing that's so required. Okay, so it's the gift of God, the grace of God is a gift from God. All right, it's not something you've earned, it's not something of your ability, capacity, but God in his infinite kindness, infinite mercy, his goodness has been gracious to you. All right, so there's a lot that we've been given to as kids, as children of the living God, and so we have to come to an understanding of these tools, what we've been graced with. So we'll look at that in more detail. We'll take a break now and come back and then look at this in more detail. All right, catch you on the other side of this break.
Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
welcome back. If you're joining us, yes, we had another break there. You're tuning to Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Okay, so we had a recap looking at some of the foundations required to walk in authority and power, and we spent a lot of time just before the break emphasizing the importance of the Word of God as God's change agents, God change agency to bring about change. So anything that only that will grow, you know, spiritually are going to mature needs to go through process of change, and God's change agent is His Word. So we talked about the benefits of the Word, entrance of, you know, the Word will bring insight, it brings illumination, you know, brings understanding, and the benefits to the individual in terms of knowing much, much more than your teachers, much more than the ancients, you know, and being empowered to utilize what has been given to you. Right, so we're trying to press further, having established that foundation of the Word as the agency. So we're going to find out a lot of the things we'll be talking about subsequently will be, you know, anchored on the Word of God. Without the Word was nothing made that was made. All right, so now the question is, how do we achieve this maturing, this growing, you know, in this authority and power? First, you have to come to a revelation and understanding, which you've been doing for some weeks now, on the fact that we have been given a delegated authority and power. All right, we looked at scriptures regarding that. He said, I've given authority, you know, and we have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of us. So the possibility of becoming whatever God has declared us righteous, declared us, you know, overcomers, declared us more than conquerors. These prophetic statements speak to your potential, and that's what I want to make establish here. So it's not about just reading the scriptures and quoting them. It's potential. It's something that you're capable of achieving. However, you need to know that you are capable. You have to know that you have the abilities. You have the resources. Then it's another thing on how to utilize them, activate them, even to your advantage. And so a lot has been done for us, but we have to come to an understanding of this reality. Right, so this is primarily through intimacy. This is an important bit, like I mentioned. We are spirit beings. We have a body in which we dwell in. We're spirit beings. Okay, we're spirit beings. We have a body in which we dwell in. Okay, and a soul that is living, has our will, our mind, and motion. So we have to know how to get, you know, a grip of all these things. All right, so through intimacy, God is a spirit, and whoever will come to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God is spirit, and He rewards everyone that comes to Him. So I just said a few minutes ago, we achieve this by intimacy with Him. Okay, so you come into the presence of God, who is a spirit. You build and cultivate an intimate relationship with Him. You need to have an understanding what exactly that is. First, it's not a relationship like with any other person you have. It's a spirit-to-spirit relationship. So you must understand how to cultivate your spirit, develop your spirit to come into that spirit-to-spirit communion with Him. All right, so there's a lot underneath that, but just how you capture that. And then those who will come in such a manner and posture will come in spirit and in truth. Again, we see the Word coming up again in the truth of His Word. Not anybody's word, not anybody's opinion, not anybody's ideology or theology. Very important here. All right, a lot of people have voices, have opinions, very many schools of thought. It's coming to God in His truth on the basis of His living Word, okay, and with His spirit to spirit. All right, so that's important. That just gives some, you know, kind of framework for this intimacy. Right, so through intimacy, communion, okay, with Him, common union, come into common union. We come to dwell in His presence. We come into union with Him. You know, like when Jesus said to disciples, myself and the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's that degree of, what's the word now? Immersion, okay, intermingling, interweaving. All right. So it's that intermingled into His presence that you're come into communion, common union with him. All right, you relate with him as one. So intimacy is a relationship between two, you know, parties in a love relationship. Okay, they're very intimate, they're very close, there's very great proximity in this encounter and intermingling. I just want to get those words out there. All right, so now your encounters and abiding in his presence will bring a lot to you, okay, which we want to explore here. And the first thing I want to mention here is that you're being built up. Every time you come into his presence, you are being built up. The Bible says as living stones, you're being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord. Okay, so that's something we have to be aware of, that you are being built up into a spiritual house. And so to be able to yield fully, okay, to the process of being built up, you must come to grips with certain truths very early in your journey. And the first is having an understanding of your identity in Christ. Everything that's going to be done, you're being built up into this spiritual house in Christ Jesus. So your identity, who you are, again, according to the scriptures, okay, has to be very well defined. It's not something you play lip service to. You must know who you are in Christ. You must know whose you are. You must know what is expected of you as a child of God. Okay, and what does the Bible say about your identity? That's because from one sphere, in every dimension you can imagine, that identity will be challenged by the enemy. So you must be fully grounded, knowing who you are in Christ. And this now moves on to inform a couple of other things that are important. Right, and the next one I want to have here is what you have as a child of God. So what is it you have? What has been given to you? What has been embedded within your personality? This new creature that you are in Christ Jesus, what is in it, you know, to be used for your high calling? So you look at things like, what is it that you carry? All right, so what are you having on board? Okay, what has God blessed you with in terms of what you have been graced with, in terms of what you have been gifted? Okay, so certain giftings, he gave gifts to men, the Bible says, okay, some to be what, teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets. What is your gifting? What is that calling upon your life? So you need to have an understanding of what that is, okay, and what it is you have been blessed with. All right, and all of this is for your high calling and your assignment. Now I want to pause at this point, because sometimes it's important to understand really why this is quite unique. Each person is graced, each person is gifted, each person has certain features for their calling. And I want to use maybe a manufacturer designing a car. There are certain specific features in every type of car that is put within that particular prototype for its purpose. So if you look at an F1 car, for example, it has a low center of gravity, very powerful engine. It, because of the speed at which it goes, it needs a very low center of gravity. So these vehicles are very powerful, very low. Now when you look at like an off-road vehicle, 4x4, these are much higher because they have to go through on even terrain and that kind of stuff. Now these particular vehicles were designed for specific tracks. So the F1, you know, vehicle is designed for the F1 track, and the 4x4 is designed to go off-road. That decision was made by the designer. Those features were put into that particular vehicle by the designer. In the same vein, each one of you that's been called for a specific purpose has had certain giftings, certain attributes built into your individual personality for your calling. So you need to discover, what are my features? And they will help you understand what's your purpose and your assignment. And that's something a lot of people don't really understand. And so that's why I'm saying that as we walk in our authority and power, we need to understand what we have been given, what it is that we carry on board, what are the futures that we have. So for example, somebody who is having a calling to be a teacher expresses certain types of abilities that the prophet or the apostle may not have, you know. And so this is just where I'm trying to make some clear demarcation here. So each individual has a responsibility through prayer, through communion, okay, with the Lord, to come to a place of understanding what it is they're called to do, what it is they've been given for their calling and their assignment, and subsequently the purpose for which it was given and how to walk in that. All right, so that's so important. Right, so I just thought I'd put that out there. And then we have to have an inheritance in Christ as co-heirs with Christ. So what have we been gifted, okay, as our inheritance? What are your covenant rights, okay? What are the privileges you enjoy as a co-heir? All right, he says all that is his is given to us. What exactly are the things he has access to that have been given to you? You need to know what it is you have been given, what you have access to. Again, authority and power is one of the many things that have been given to you. But of course, if you didn't know you have authority and power, then you probably will not be able to enforce or legislate, you know, exercise your authority and dominion in your situation and circumstances. Not because it wasn't given to you, but simply because you're ignorant of what it is that you have or what you have been blessed with. So that's why we're having to look at all of these things in details. I must say it is quite a tall order, but it will really need some due diligence on our part. Now, due to the uniqueness of individual callings, all right, each person's calling is unique, just like I explained the F1 car and the off-road vehicle, there will be a need for certain levels of consecration. And consecrations are certain things that are do's and don'ts. So for example, you will not overload an F1 car with 2-ton, 3-ton load. It's not designed to carry that kind of load. So that would be a violation of, you know, what that car is designed for. All right, in the same vein, there are certain things that we're not supposed to do because of our calling and our assignment. So let's take the 12 tribes, for example. Of the 12 tribes, the Levites were separated unto God. Okay. And part of their consecration was that they would not have any portion in any of the land and businesses and all of those things. God was their portion, and anything they needed in terms of resources was to be provided by all the other 11 tribes. So you need to know what is required for your separation, for your consecration, to fulfill your high call and to become the vessel that can be used for his, you know, purposes. The Lord give us understanding concerning these things in Jesus' precious name. Okay, we'll take another break now and we'll come back and then look at some more details on foundations required to walk in authority and power. Catch you on the flip side of this break.
Stars, they've left.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, that's another break we had. Yes, you're tuning into Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew, and we're looking at the foundations required to walk in our authority and power, which we started off from our last session. And today we've considered a couple of very important things, and we're talking about the importance of being in the presence of God, and that's the primary way by which we can achieve our ability, capacity, and the potential that's within to find expression. So we said that through intimacy, communion with Him, coming to common union, proximity, by encounters in His presence. So there is a lot that happens in the presence of God. We want to explore that, and we recognize that we're being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord. Okay, so we talked about the important our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ, and why that's so important. We talked about coming to understand what it is we have, we carry, what's embedded, infused within us for our calling and assignment. Okay, and due to the uniqueness of individual callings, we have specific consecrations, and I give examples of the 12 tribes, and the Levites were separated unto the Lord to minister unto Him, and so they had certain lifestyle, they had certain disciplines that they had to conform to for their specific calling. And so it is with each and every one of us. So the Lord helping us by His Spirit will bring us to a place of understanding what our unique calling is, what our consecrations are. And like I said, because the callings are unique, then the consecrations might vary. Now it's important to stay here. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Okay, in terms of consecration. And sometimes you hear people say, well, this is what I do for my own consecration. Fine, that may be good for their own calling. What is your unique calling? What are the consecrations required for your unique calling? So you need to have a clear understanding what that is. So it's not one size fits all, it's not copying, it's not a formula, it's taking time in the presence of the your creator for you to have that conversation. Remember, you journey in revelation, so you journey your conversations. Everything He has to say to you is not done in one conversation, so you keep that relationship, and that's how we grow. Okay, so there's the uniqueness of our consecrations. Now it's also important to recognize that we are covenant children, and we have a covenant relationship with our Father. I know we started this session way back, some weeks back, understanding the different types of covenant and expressing that was God's platform for communicating with His people. There are terms of the covenant, there are parties in the covenant, there are agreements within the covenant that must be kept by both parties for it to be validated, for it to be enforced, and for it to be active. So these are things that we must understand as covenant keeping children. And our God is a covenant keeping God. He keeps His covenants from one generation to another. So you need to have an understanding of what's expected of you within the terms of your covenant. All right, and so that's important. Of course, as we can imagine, there'll be conflicts, there're going to be contradictions, there's going to be persecution, and a lot of things will arise, and I promise you, just because you're called. I think Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? The very day you decide you want to walk with the Lord, the very day you decide you want to give your life to Christ, the very day you want to take things seriously, there are going to be conflicts, there are going to be contradictions that will arise because you are called. It's a test. All right, so do not take it like something strange. From the day I started praying, from the day I started fasting, I started experiencing this. Welcome to the reality of your call and the challenges you'll be facing. Amen. Okay, praise God. All right, so having looked at that fundamentally, I want us to look at the scripture that we talked about being built up into a spiritual house. And this we can find in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm looking at verses 4-7. There's a lot of things that needs to be dealt with us from our old nature, our stony heart. And so every time we come into the presence of God, these things are being dealt with. And I want us to understand that your mere standing in his presence, you are yielding yourself to his great work in you. I think just before I go into the Peter reference, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, when they turn to the Lord and remain conscious, okay, of their focusing on him, these many distractions were destroyed, okay, by his fiery love, by the fire that emanates from his presence. So we need to be helped. We need the enabling grace of God to become who he has called us to be. And it's when we turn from our distractions, when we turn towards that focus on him, that we find that he helps us, he enables us to consume the distractions. I'm just pulling back a little bit, but I remember having a discussion the other day, like, oh, what movies are you into? That was somebody's line in a conversation, and I looked at it like, that's a rabbit hole. Once we jump into one movie, then we're going to talk about so many movies they're interested in. There's a whole lot about my destiny I want to discover. I need to jump into God's presence to discover his calling, his expectations for my life. But you can easily be distracted. And so what I'm saying here is that if you would turn to focus on the Master, turn to focus on the Creator, turn to focus on his eyes, your gaze on him, lock in. He's the one that will help you to burn these distractions, these things that easily beset us, these things that easily derail us. All right, and so we need to be aware that happens every time we come, and so that we can no longer be distracted the moment we focus, we set our gaze on him. And that's important. So right, back to 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 to 7, and I read from the TPT version. It says, so keep coming to him who is the living stone. Though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God, and is priceless in God's sight. So you keep coming back to him. Come and be his living stones. So you come into his presence to become his living stones, okay, who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. I really like the way the TPT breaks this down so that we can understand it. So we're continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. All right, now for you have to serve, right? All right, people. So come and be living stones. So there's what you're becoming. I just want to make that very important. There's what we're becoming. We're becoming living stones. And becoming is making you to become that living stone. So there is a molding, there's a shaping, okay, in his presence. So as long as you have that understanding which we're sharing here, and you continually being assembled by your being present continually, standing in his presence, then you come and you're being assembled into sanctuary. Right? So for now, you serve as holy priests. Now that's another important thing. We serve as holy priests. We're just like the Levites. Alright? They were separated to minister to the Lord. So we need to have an understanding what that means. And then we're offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. So part of your responsibility is not only to turn up, to remain focused, to stay through the process, but to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So of course we'll need to know what are those spiritual sacrifices. You know, whoever cometh to God must believe that he is, and they worship him in spirit and in truth. So praises, thanksgiving, okay, sacrifices, all right, our communion sessions with him, pleading the blood of Jesus. Why is blood so important when it comes to the sanctuary? We'll look at this in more detail. What's important to have an understanding that some priestly responsibilities and an expectation for us so that we can become these living stones. All right, for the scripture says, Look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion. It's chosen, okay, and priceless stone. And whoever believes in him will certainly not be disappointed. As believers, we know his great worth. Indeed, his preciousness is imparted to you. So there's an impartation going on. There's an impartation going on, and we must be aware. So I'm just dropping a few things that happen in his presence so that we are aware how to conduct ourselves, how to remain there. You know, it's like you trying to give your little baby a bath. They have to be present. They have to stay for you to go through the entire process for them to become clean. And so there's a work that God is doing in us and with us. Okay, there's the work that God is doing in us and with us, all right, and we don't want to work at cross purposes with him. So when we understand what's happening every time we stand before him, you know, based on the scriptures, I think we'll go over them again, we'll study them deeper. Then we're able to come to walk in agreement. The Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? Can two walk together except they are in alignment? So there are loads of things about our lifestyle now, the changes we have to make, how we conduct ourselves, our spiritual posture, okay, that have to come into alignment, and they have to stay congruent. That means they're all focused, they're all pointing, laser focused, and that will get you to your destination. I pray that the Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' precious name. Okay, so very insightful scripture there, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. As believers, you know this great work, so we know the great work of our Savior. Indeed, his preciousness is imparted to you as along with many other, you know, traits that he has. But for those who do not believe, the same stone the builders rejected and discarded has now become the cornerstone. So that's 1 Peter chapter 2 from verses 4 to 7. And I've just read the TPT, the Living Translation version, you know, Passion version, and it's really, you know, quite clear what it's trying to do there. So I hope that's helped us. Right, so another version says, let's read a different version. This is from verses 8 to 11. It says, they keep stumbling over the message because they refuse to believe it. So this same message, others stumble over it because they refuse to believe. Because of unbelief, the Bible says, you know, their faith was not mixed with believing, and we have to have our faith mixed with believing. And this they were destined to do. But you are God's chosen generation, you are priests who are kings, you are a spiritual nation. Please take note of that. You are priests, you're also kings, and a spiritual nation. You've been set apart as God's devoted ones. He's called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his own. Right? He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. And verse 10 of the same 1 Peter chapter 2 says, for at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. And at what time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you didn't receive it yet. But now you are drenched in it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I know that's a bit to take in today, but I needed us to just communicate that essential bit. And, you know, for us to understand that there is an expectation for us in our, you know, calling, an expectation in our being covenant children of God, and an expectation of what we can do, cannot do. All of these, you know, we need to knuckle down some time, invest time in His presence, invest time in the Word, to come to an understanding of what is required of you. Remember, you're not only called, you are priests. What am I supposed to do? What's expected of me as a priest? You are kings. You are a peculiar people. You are a called out nation. You know, you need to really look at each one of those things you're called into to understand the significance and the purpose. As always, I've said, whatever the purpose of anything is not understood, then it's open to misuse and abuse. And our lives are no exception. And the Lord grant us understanding concerning this in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for how you've helped us today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Truly is your change agent. I pray, Lord, that you will help our listeners to not just study the word, but be able to meditate, be able to find time to digest, to assimilate, to let the word sink in to the deep parts of their hearts, to break up the fallow ground, that they might take these words on board, they might be able to come to a place of understanding, and that they might be able to apply themselves. And I pray, Lord, that the exploits, the testimonies, the breakthroughs of those that know their God will be theirs also, in the name of Jesus. I pray you bless them in every sphere of their lives. Bless them financially. Bless them in their relationships. Bless them with their significant relationships, with their coaches, their mentors, their role models, people that you have destined to help, destiny helpers. Bless them in their health. Bless them in their going out and their coming in. Bless them, Lord, concerning their children. Bless those that intend to be, you know, settled in their families. Cause them to settle down. Cause them to be fruitful. Cause them to be able to multiply. Cause them to increase on every side. I pray, Lord, that they will be people that will come to know how to comport themselves, how to navigate themselves, how to position their spirit man in your presence to take full advantage every time they stand before you. The things that only you can do when people stand in your presence, I pray, Lord, you bless them. I pray, Lord, you empower them. I pray, Lord, that you enlighten them. I pray, Lord, that you cause them to be increased with new knowledge, new insight. I pray that the capacity to journey in the revelation of the word that they encounter, Lord, will bring testimonies galore into their lives, their families, people that come in contact with them. And I pray that everyone that is connected and rooted to them be blessed immeasurably for having come to meet with you, for having come to tabernacle with you, for having spent that time in your presence. Let it be a blessing. Lord, people hear testimonies on the left, on the right, but except they do what the people who had the testimony did, they do not become the owners of testimonies. I pray, Lord, everyone hearing the sound of my voice, Father, Lord, that they will travel with you. They'll come to a place of understanding, and that you will cause them to take delivery of great blessings, great testimonies, to the praise and the glory of your name. We just want to thank you again, because we acknowledge you at the beginning. We thank you because you really, truly today have been in our midst. We are so grateful for what you started. We know, like a seed, your word, when it hits the ground, will bring forth its fruit in due season. I pray, Lord, that the, you know, fruits of today's teaching, today's, you know, sharing, today's gleaning of the word, Lord, let it bear fruits in the heart of every hearer out there. Lord, empower them, grace them, anoint them to not just be hearers of the word, but doers in the name of Jesus. I command the blessing of God that maketh rich and added no sorrow rest upon them. Be on them, surround them, go before them. Let them have favor, uncommon favor with you and with men. This is our prayer. This is our cry. And unto you who hears the cries of your people, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lovely people, I hope that has really helped. I just got into a moment of prayer there. I hope that's been useful to you, somebody out there. Okay, so right, where are we? And a few more things before we go. The scripture, Matthew chapter 5 verse 20, I'll just touch on that, and we'll use that to try and finish up our session today, right? And it says, well, Jesus said to the disciples who were with him, and I think that's appropriate for what we are doing right now. He says, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, okay, then you will have no different outcome from them. The same is true for us. Christ declares us his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we know that for a fact. And the Lord makes us to understand that except our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, right, will be no different from them. So I'll leave you with that for today. And lovely people, we'll bring that to use that to bring to the end of our session today. I hope it's been a lovely session. You're going to work on your righteousness. It needs to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees if you're going to have a different outcome. Have a lovely Sunday. Until we meet again, same time on the same station, enjoy your Sunday and bye for now.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? He's been knocking very long. He's been knocking for so long. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door. He's at the door. Someone's calling out your name. Calling time and time again.